This is the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News in the headlines. There'll be no changes to the numbers on parade at this year's Independence Day march, despite a move to a smaller venue. The DLP criticizes government's move to have the parade at the Usain Bolt Sports Complex. Members of the deaf community share their views on the proposed education reform plans. And the U.S. president declares an emergency over lead in water contamination in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Good morning, I'm Carol Toppin. Details to the news just ahead. Seventeen detachments made up of 967 individuals will be on display at this year's Independence Parade. This was disclosed by Chief of Staff of the Barbados Defense Force, Commodore Errington Sherland, during a news briefing at the Ministry of Home Affairs yesterday to disclose the remaining plans for this year's Independence celebrations. This followed the announcement from Minister of Home Affairs and Information, Wilfred Abrams, that the parade will take place at the Usain Bolt Sports Complex due to the unavailability of other venues. Commodore Sherland said that while the venue is smaller compared to those previously used, he believes it will be adequate.
The numbers on the parade will be the same amount of people. There are going to be 17 detachments, 967 persons. The shape of the parade is no smaller. What I would say, though, to Barbadians is don't knock the venue until you've tried it. It's a very quaint little area. It has a certain, I would suggest, intimacy about it that would lend itself to that Barbadian feel. And the space is quite adequate. We are making provisions for seating for 2,700 people. And the minister made mention of the march through Black Rock and the salute at Carrollton. That too lends itself to the community within the Black Rock area to get a chance to see the parade up close and personal.
Chief of Staff of the Barbados Defense Force, Commodore Errington Sherland. Minister of Home Affairs Wilfred Abrams also responded to concerns that information on this year's parade was shared too late. He explained that government had to consider several factors before making a final decision.
We were exploring every option before settling on a venue. It was not just simply a matter of picking a venue and saying, let's go there. It must be close to the bus route. There must be easy access for the troops to get in, those on parade to get in, also to accommodate the spectators. We had to have a sufficient location that we could do a proper march pass that also involve the community. We don't want the Independence Day parade to be cloistered, that a certain amount of people who get tickets get to see it and then the rest of Barbados can't participate in it. So it was not just the venue. It was what also follows the parade and surrounds the venue. Our parade is to showcase our best. So we had to be in a position to say that we could pull this off to the standard that Barbadians expect of the parade. I'm sorry that we announced late, but we announced when we were certain that this is where we could do it properly.
Minister of Home Affairs Wilfred Abrams. The Democratic Labour Party has criticised government for not having the Garrison Savannah prepared for the annual Independence Day parade. Executive Council member of the DLP and former Sergeant Major Ricardo Harrison tells Starcom Network News it's the government's duty to have the grounds ready. He believes the historical significance of the parade is being taken away.
Government's responsibility was to have that area of the parade square or the Garrison Savannah prepared for this parade. But they have not used the Garrison since they came to office in 2018. All the parades have either been at Kensington and in the port. So it's government's failing to prepare the Garrison for the parades. Barbados traditionally are having witnessed some of them begin the Independence Parade on the Garrison on the end of November 30th, 1966. There's a bond, an affinity to going on the Garrison dressed in your blue and yellow, proudly watching the parade, walking down behind the troops as they march down Bay Street, circled down and came back up. That has been lost because you're now putting persons in a box-like atmosphere and turning it into an award ceremony, which has taken away the sense of the parade.
Executive Council member of the DLP and former Sergeant Major Ricardo Harrison. Meantime, Barbadians shared mixed reactions about the alternative venue.
Independence Parade should be at the Garrison Savannah once the field is not waterlogged. Taking it to Usain Bolt, which is AstroTurf, but also has to be kept in a certain condition, will also cause damage to the AstroTurf field.
It doesn't really matter. At least at the Usain Bolt complex, you can sit down and in comfort and watch the parade.
Quite frankly, a location is a location. And we will celebrate our independence on November 30th, as we always do.
As far as I'm concerned, the name alone own. Says we are Hollywood can parade down there. But as far as I'm concerned, that's they're only going to put it on Culpeper Island and only a few going to go out there.
Barbadians reacting to the decision to have this year's Independence Parade at the Usain Bolt Sports Complex. Members of the disabled community have been questioning whether plans are in place for the development of the Irvin Wilson School within government's education reform proposal. Two deaf contributors raised the matter at government's final public consultation on education reform at Harrison College last night. Through interpreter Bonnie Leonce, contributors Lionel Smith and Dario Nightingale queried what was being done to improve the teaching and learning process at the school.
What are your plans for Irvin Wilson? I literally grew up in that school. I've been there for many years. And I want to know, what do you have planned for them? I finished at 18, and at 18, we were just thrown out there. And now we are here. What is this transformation going to do for us? What is Irvin Wilson going to look like? It's like a primary school, but we leave at 18. We want people who are able to support the deaf community regardless, not just put someone in a school until their age of retirement, but people who value and understand the value and importance of sign language, not people who sign with no facial expressions, their body language is dead, and they want to inspire a generation. And that's not going to happen. We want our deaf children to become successful.
Deaf contributors Lionel Smith and Dario Nightingale through interpreter Bonnie Leonce. Chief Education Officer Dr. Ramona Archer Bradshaw explained that they're seeking to improve the curriculum there. Teacher training is also being considered for educators at the institution.
The children at the Irvin Wilson should be exposed to a similar curriculum to the children in other schools. You should be exposed to the core and any elective of your choice. So we will make sure, in the spirit of inclusion, that when we look at the programming across the basic education system, that we include Irvin Wilson and look at the curriculum offerings there as well. Because in order for teachers to teach the deaf any subject, they must be able to sign correctly or sign in a way that the deaf can understand. So teacher training is critical, and we are exploring that.
As Chief Education Officer Dr. Ramona Archer Bradshaw. The Community Dance Fest competition has returned with some changes following a 5-year hiatus. Included in this year's event will be a DJ sound clash. This was revealed during a news briefing at the Ministry of Youth and Community Empowerment at Sky Mall. Minister of State in the Prime Minister's Office with Responsibility for Culture, Senator Dr. Chantal Munro-Knight, stressed the importance of young people being involved in community development.
And I'm so very excited to see this rebirth, but not only of Dance Fest. What I understand is that we'll also include a DJ competition as well, targeting particularly that demographic of young men to be involved in areas that they have some acumen and are interested in. I think as well also adds to that the social bit about that we need to be able to do in terms of making sure that we include all aspects of society in that cultural landscape, and again mainstream it. So very, very excited and looking forward to it. And of course you can count on the support, the wider support of the Division of Culture.
As Minister of State in the Prime Minister's Office with Responsibility for Culture, Senator Dr. Chantal Munro-Knight. U.S. President Joe Biden declared an emergency over lead in water contamination in the U.S. Virgin Islands earlier this week. The move comes after tests in St. Croix revealed levels more than 100 times the limits set by the Environmental Protection Agency, among the worst results a U.S. community has seen in decades. Officials told residents to stop using their taps and began distributing bottled water. Lead can have devastating effects on childhood development, behavior, and IQ scores. Finally, two occupants of a car that exploded yesterday at the U.S.-Canada Rainbow Bridge border crossing are dead. The incident occurred shortly before noon when a car coming from the Canadian side of the border on the bridge connecting Canada to New York State went through the initial checkpoint where passports and licenses are examined. The car was then directed to another area for a secondary search when an explosion occurred. A Authorities do not know what caused the explosion. Recapping the headlines, there'll be no changes to the numbers on parade at this year's Independence Day march despite a move to a smaller venue. The DLP criticizes government's move to have the Independence Parade at the Usain Bolt Complex. Members of the deaf community share their views on the proposed education reform plans, and U.S. President declares an emergency over lead in water contamination in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And that was the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network is a member of the OCM Group. And you can listen to the latest news or catch up on news stories at starcomnetwork.net. You may also WhatsApp add me to 246-256-6397 to receive breaking news. I'm Carol Toppin. Good morning.